for the church you attend. But have you ever actually studied carefully into your own Bible to believe what your own eyes tell you, to answer questions that must certainly crop up into people's minds from time to time, to find out, can you really prove, can you back up by Scripture what you believe? And I don't mean be lazy and let somebody else do it for you. I don't mean let me do it for you. I wouldn't want to try. But why let somebody else think for you, too? Why not make up your own mind? The kids today seem to think, because they are copping out on modern society, that they have somehow rejected the traditional Christian God. Maybe they have, the traditional Christian one, but have they rejected the real one? Can you, by rejecting a religion which itself, in many important points, rejects revealed knowledge, reject the truth? If you reject a rejecter, you haven't rejected anything but somebody who was erroneous anyhow. I want to give you just one little example. I noticed that from time to time, when someone feels really called upon, and I suppose some people do have that bent, to persecute, they will make all sorts of statements about how Armstrong preaches a gospel of salvation by works. Now, that's a lie. I don't, never have. I don't believe, I'll just say for public record, and I would expect somewhere between 40 and 60 million people will hear these words. I do not believe that anybody can achieve salvation, whatever that means. I believe I know what the Bible says it means, but I clarify that because I think there is some confusion on the subject. I'm not about to think about a salvation which is not revealed in the Bible, of shuffling through interminable reams of harp music and comparing wings, flittering around in gorgeous retirement where no grass grows. And frankly, no such reward, if you can call it that, is offered to Christians in the Bible. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where it says you're going to have a harp and a pair of wings. You can't show me the statement about Peter at the proverbial golden gates. You can't show me how a man is going to get to heaven, as a matter of practical fact. And that might astound the daylights, I suppose, out of some people who say, well, that's bound to be heresy. Not go to heaven? Well, now, somebody's bound to say Armstrong said that. No, Christ said it. He said no man is ascended into heaven. Now, how come? What happened to all those people like David, a man after God's own heart? Well, Peter answered that. The very first sermon that was ever preached after that day of Pentecost, revealed in the second chapter of the book of Acts, he said, David is not ascended into the heavens. Look it up. I challenge you to. I dare you to. Prove it to yourself. I'll bet you won't do it. You'll probably say, Armstrong claims David didn't go to heaven, and that that was actually written a long time, at least 50 days, because if you know how that was counted, Pentecost, you know, following that very event of the Passover and the weekly Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread, you know that Pentecost was at least 50 days or later. You see, now Pentecost was exactly 50 days, but I know that you know that this day of Pentecost sermon in the second chapter of the book of Acts had to be way more than a month after whatever it was Christ had come to do had been totally accomplished. So certainly the way was open into heaven. Here's that scripture. I challenge you to look it up. It says in Acts 2:34. Now, you know, that's fairly easy to remember. You're probably driving a truck or a car, sitting at home. Maybe you don't have a Bible. Maybe you're in a motel room. Well, the Gideons probably put one there for you. So why don't you take a look and find out. 2:34. You can remember that. That's the scripture. Acts 2:34. Now, I'll quote it for you. But then you don't want to believe me unless you look it up and see it in your own Bible. And it says this, quote, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Looked like there was a long period there, and that involved Christ, of course, sitting at the right hand of God the Father until everything was accomplished. But you heard it. You believe it? You believe it's in there? Is it in the book? I mean, if the book is your criterion. Now, if the book is not your criterion, well, then that's your problem. You ought to find out one way or the other whether it should be. But if the book is your criterion, I don't care what your label. I don't care what your experience, what your degree, what your background, what your particular bent or penchant may be. If it says in the Bible in verse 34 of Acts, the second chapter, David is not ascended into the heavens, I would just suggest to you that if the book is your criterion, you had better believe that. Now, if you don't want to believe it, that's your business. Nobody can force you to. I'm just saying it's in the Bible, and that is not 1 Armstrong 4:11. That's Acts 2:34. Now, I notice that people love to quote this scripture in Ephesians, the second chapter, to try to thwart or to gainsay what they hear over the World Tomorrow radio program or perhaps in the pages of the Plain Truth magazine. First, they claim we preach some sort of a gospel of salvation by works, which we most decidedly do not. You can't get saved in 100 lifetimes of keeping the Ten Commandments perfectly, period. You can only get saved by grace, and that is God's loving free gift. You can only be saved, according to the Bible, by the very mercy of God the Father, and by the atoning work of the life of Jesus Christ, His shed blood, His death, which obliterates your sins if you claim it, as God says you should. And then you are saved by His life, as Paul said in Romans, and His intercessory work as your high priest, and I know that. But here's that scripture in Ephesians, the second chapter. He says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that, even that, is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I really believe that. And he went on to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the new creature made in Christ, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained that we should walk in good works. A good, a right, an upstanding, a wholesome way of life. Well, that's what the Bible says. I just wanted to clear up that one point because sometimes people are a little mistaken. Now, you need to write for this booklet on the wonderful world tomorrow what it will be like, because it takes the picture of the world the way it is today and shows you all of the things that people say are wrong with it. Then it shows you the potential for the solution of those problems in all areas. Then it walks right on out into the future with those remarkable good prophecies of the Bible that give you the good news and give you the contrast to show you what the solutions really are. Now, it's absolutely free of charge, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. It's the one booklet that tells you more than any other publication can, exactly what this program is all about, what we stand for, what we believe, what we're trying to do. It's free of charge, no price, no follow-up, no request for money ever. All you need to do is to write to Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Remember, there is absolutely no advertising. There is no charge. There is no request for money in the literature. It's yours gratis. If you will send your letter and tell us the call letters of the radio station over which you've been listening, then send your letter to Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. And so until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales.